don't need a crown to be the queen of this office.
I may plan events, but I can also plan your downfall. How dumb is that?
Wait, that's no joke, one of my favorite taglines of all time.
How fun.
I think that's because as a former, I guess, potentially retired event producer, I like it. It vibes
so
with
fun.
Me.
But like I've never planned anyone's downfall.
Like, well, you should. I mean, hello, resolutions for 2024. Here we go.
Become more aggressive and make people hate me.
Well, if there's one thing we should learn from Housewives, it's to be more unlikable.
100%.
And aggressive and reactive and explosive.
100%.
I mean, let's put that energy into the universe. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 5-something. I have to say, I am so out of it. I just didn't realize how much I missed while I was gone. And the simple fact that I timed our recording today to me catching up on 2 episodes of Miami, only to find out it was in fact a 3-parter and the 3rd episode dropped. What is happening? How did that happen? Did 2 episodes go up at once or did I literally miss 3 weeks?
No, I think you might, because they came out.
I saw the finale.
Yeah. And then it was part 1, part 2, part 3. But I also watched like part 2 and 3 like within a few days of each other. So maybe they did come out at the same. I don't know. I truly don't know. I just went to Peacock and I was like, oh, it's up. Let me watch it.
I mean, I'm shaken by the I watched it. We had to slightly adjust the timing for this episode because I was like, I'm so sorry. I need to. there's a bonus number there, because at the end of part 2, I thought it was a 2-parter for some reason. And then like Gertie and Larsa are like screaming at each other or whatever. And I just completely I was like, oh, this is an interesting way to end the reunion. And then it was like, stay tuned for it. And I really lost my mind.
Well, also even part 3, it ended kind of weird. Marisol
and
Alexia.
Also, there were.
I was like, oh, is this like a to be continued? Like, what's they're mad at each other and that's it.
Oh, right.
Like, yeah. Like it was like after they did the tequila shot,
which I was into because I didn't expect that.
Right, but now I want more.
Well, I mean, that's the
is that not their job?
Or? But then I was confused because there were all these press reports that Marcus sort of like lost his shit a little bit backstage. So I thought that was going to end part 3. And we got none of that. So I now have to take the women's word for the fact that it was like really bad, but it's hard. I don't know. He kept saying like, I wish I was there. I wish I was on the couch, but
and they weren't, right?
What?
Why didn't they didn't bring any of the men out, right?
No, they were just like,
They
were just there because we can't get rid of those boyfriends. We cannot get rid of them.
But I feel like either like bring them on and let them.
Yes, they shouldn't be there. They shouldn't be on.
Right. Or just get out.
Yeah, unless Jody knows how to do hair now. Oh, and I don't think that's in his like pocket of skills as much as it is paying, I guess, the rent on that place that Lisa's living in right now. We need to cut ties. I love that their relationships are close. I really don't love it at all. We need to cut ties with that a little bit. Do we not?
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
You know what also is a lot? The fact that I haven't introduced you yet and we're like 45 minutes into
Oh my God. Please. I hope people just know by the sound of my voice.
They do. They do. Shrimps everywhere are perking their little shrimp ears, saying, here, where's that woman who went viral?
Where is she? She's here.
She is here. She's here in the office. So welcome back to Andy's Girls, content creator and Bravoholic, Christine Biancavilla. Christine, how are we?
Thank you. Thank you. Applause, please. No, we're good. We're good.
Good.
But how are you?
My sleep schedule is so fucked up. I think I went to sleep really early and then I woke up at 3 in the morning. I guess 3 in the morning. And then I was like, oh, wait, there's a Cezanne drop, which ironically is their Rome collection.
Oh, my gosh. Well, and like, time change, anything it's Rome. Too much.
Right. Plus the time change. So then I was like, oh, well, you know, Paris time is 6 hours ahead or whatever. I forget
ahead.
How time works.
Ahead. Ahead. Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, so let me just wait until this drop at like 9:30 Paris time. It's so wild that my body just woke up because it wanted a certain embroidered skirt.
It knew.
So then it's 3:30 American time. I thought 9:30 Paris time. And then I was like, let me check my world clock. No, it's 5 hours ahead, not 6. So then I waited until 4:30. To get this goddamn
skirt.
Right,
because there is, like, for the next, I don't know when it, for the next, like, 2 weeks or week or 2 weeks, we're only 5 hours.
Wait, but that's a thing?
Yeah, but then it'll go like we'll be back on the 6 hour schedule.
Oh, because I thought I was losing my mind.
No, no,
I was
no.
Like, no, it was 6 hours.
It is. And then it's I want to just double check to make sure I'm not giving false information
for the very first time on Andy's
like,
Girls.
Because what is it? Yes, because Italy. Well, I'm thinking Italy, but it's also that like they have daylight savings. So it's not always like in some parts of the year, it's like 6 hours and then 5 hours.
Yes.
Because of all the time
Who
changes.
Who allowed that to happen?
No, I think we need to stop.
We need to stop with all
everyone
time
needs,
changes.
Everyone needs
to stop. We all need to
be. Stop.
We do need to stop.
Enough.
And then there were people melting down on Cezanne's Instagram because I guess they like released it early. So it was like 9:30 French time, but they released it like 5 minutes early and everything was gone. So people started losing their shit on social, which was very funny. It's only funny to me because I pressed refresh for 35 minutes knowing that somebody's shopping cart would time out. And that is, in fact, what happened. Because God is on my side.
And you got it.
Birthday month. God is
you
on my side.
You got it. Okay.
I got it. I got a couple different sizes. It's like one of those things of like, why are you buying stuff in the States when it's slightly more than it would be in France plus the VAT? And, you know.
Who's to say?
It dropped now. It's I don't make the law.
Right. Okay? Here.
I just follow.
This is when it dropped. And
yeah.
That's, you know. God's plan.
So can I ask you a question before we dive in? Because there's literally so much for us to discuss.
Yes, always.
So birthday's coming up.
Yes.
Really big
Yours
number.
And mine. Well, yeah. Mine's in April.
Oh, okay. This April is, what?
It's your time, 16.
Thank you. I share my birthday March 27 with both Victoria Gumbelson and Mariah Carey. So that's a lot
wow.
of energy to carry. Does sort of
okay.
make sense. Holy Trinity.
You are so lucky. Like, my birthday buddy is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar,
oh,
the basketball player.
But no, but
no,
the,
we love
and
him.
The intellectual oh, and he, the yeah. phenomenal author. He's
yeah,
incredible.
No, he's fantastic. I just
but
like
it's not on Housewife.
It's not like a,
he's not on yeah. Real Housewives of New Jersey, and we're trying not to hold
yeah,
that against
but
him.
But it's okay. Anyway, continue. So birthday month,
I'm like, how do I celebrate this random year like no other?
Yeah.
I was thinking about doing a very small, like literally 5 or 6 people little dinner
Love.
Situation. We were talking about our shared favorite restaurant, Palma, in
yes.
downtown New York, Italian, but like very good Italian.
It's good.
So I was asking you and then I was like, wait, we should like talk about this because I might want to focus on this for a minute.
Yeah.
How you threw a dinner for several friends at Palma last year. So my question to you is like, if you're hosting it and it's your birthday, are you paying the bill?
So I'm so glad you asked this.
Okay.
And it was actually, it was a lunch
okay.
last year.
And
I did
should
a
say
luncheon.
We're young women in our mid to early 20s, late teens even, if you think about it long enough. So it's like, this isn't like, you know, for people who have buckets of cash
no,
or like whatever.
No.
I'm sure
I'm
it's
not,
different law.
Like,
different law.
I'm not financially... I'm stable, but I'm not comfortable by any means. Like, I have a place to live and that's about
it. Stability doesn't have a home in the
office. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's yeah. So I think, and this is what I did, I think it is totally fine to have, again, being the age that we are and
so young.
The financial
so
means.
Young. Yeah.
And, you know, the inflation.
Mm.
As
friendship
long,
inflation,
right.
honestly. It costs more to be my friend.
But yeah. Mm-hmm. And what I do anytime I host a birthday is I like say the invitation. And again, let me preface this by saying, if I just had buckets of cash, I would pay for everyone
yeah.
and do everything. And I'd
yeah.
be like, oh my God, like I am hosting a lunch. Come as you are. It's on me, whatever. Mm-hmm. But being that that is not the place I'm in, I just say I like make a cute little invitation. And on the back where it said RSVP, I said, the estimated cost for this is, and I just disclose it. And I say, listen, it's going to be like $200 a person.
Is it? That was it that much?
Well, I did a lunch and it was like, I think like 3 or 4 courses plus there was alcohol.
Family style.
And I did like, a specialty cocktail.
Oh my
so
God.
Like
okay, we're
no
not
like and it was like it was all it was like 20 people. And I
20 people.
Yeah, and I
damn.
But I did it knowing and I was like it was my 30th. I'll just say it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know what? If I'm going to like ask my friends to do this, like, and again, and I said no pressure, but I disclosed it ahead of time.
You said 200 per person?
Yeah, like
you said the total is like 2K, which is.
No. I said it'll be between like 250 a person. Yeah. But the thing is, you want a night in New York City, like out, if I wanted to go out in New York City, it's insane. This place.
Isn't that much?
Yeah. I don't know. Like one cocktail is like $24.
Maybe it's because I don't. So I have like one cocktail and I nurse it for the night. Maybe that's why. No, but like I really do.
No, so I love a cocktail. So I think as long as you like disclose it, but then like also, but if you're going with just like a few friends, like what I would do.
I just want to do 5 or 6 people.
Yeah. And so for my, and also I went in, I do not expect anyone to pay for me on that day, even though it's my birthday, I'm paying for myself.
So you know that if everybody sees that and they're like, God bless her, what a great chunk of change, but we're not paying. You were comfortable.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I was totally fine being like, oh, my God, don't worry. And there was really only like one person who ended up not coming, but they were like, oh, no. And I was like, don't bring me a gift. Don't do anything like this. Your gift is coming to lunch with me. And like everyone's paying for themselves because it's expensive. And as long as it's disclosed, it's totally fine. Like, I think. Again, in a perfect world, I would rent out the private room at Polo Bar for $20K and pay for everyone. But like, let's be real. And honestly, for a lot of birthdays, like my friend also threw her 30th at like a more like a bar place. So not dinner. And it was a lot more people. And it was like, I think like $90 per person for like 2 hours of like open bar. And so as long as you disclose it, like I think it's totally fine. Again, would I love to pay for everyone? Yeah, but I can't. So
I was having this conversation with a friend who was like, essentially, not to like quote Emily Post or whomever, but like the ideal situation is to pay the bill. And then if people want to contribute, that you're happy to accept that. But it is this like weird gray area. And the other side of it is I'm not married.
Right.
BCC Christopher Manzo and Pedro Pascal. Well, I don't have kids. You know, BCC, sweet love of my life, may his memory be a blessing. Paul Kemsley Galley, my fish son, who lives on forever. Thank you for doing the sign of the cross.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that. But it is also one of those things of like, so this is like kind of a thing, I guess.
So that's interesting that you say it's like someone covers it and like, oh, if you're inclined to Venmo me. See, for me, I can't live on the edge like that.
Well, I know, but I think that's the whole point is that you sort of have to live on the edge.
Right. But like I'm like, okay, a lunch, like, and I wanted all these people at my birthday.
I'm doing a dinner, but it's going to be.
But regardless.
I'm aiming for $75.
Right. And I can't like that.
That's a lot.
That is. And again, okay, I could make peace with like paying for that for it. Like, but I was like, okay.
Oh, no, I'm not making peace for that.
No.
I'll never talk to you again if you don't. No.
But I was like, oh, a lunch for 20 to 25
That's
people.
A lot of people.
No, I can't pay for that.
No,
like,
of course not.
And I knew that. And again, like as I disclosed it as being like, if you cannot come, do not worry. Like, we'll probably all go to a bar after. And if you want to like meet us or something, like go ahead. But so that like if it was a dinner for 5 or 6 people, yeah, maybe I could like risk it with that. But like, I don't know. I also think it's helpful that a lot of like my friends and I are all in not similar places, like because 75% of them are married, but like in the place where we all expect pretty much the same thing. So like if someone else is having a birthday for 20 people at a restaurant, we all pretty much know, okay, no, like obviously we're gonna like pay.
I also feel like there's so much pressure on birthdays because you're supposed to feel the quote unquote love. And it's like the expectation is such, especially if it is a big number, where it's like, I'm never going to meet up. I'm just that person where I get anxious. People cancel, things happen. It affects me. I get hurt.
It's so stressful.
It's just not worth it. I would rather do something with like genuinely just a couple people who have been there for me and like really difficult times.
Cheese and crackers for 8 people.
And just have some gluten-free cacio e pepe and call it a fucking day. Maybe a little bit of wine.
And I think you can do, actually, Palma has a really nice private room.
Yeah.
The smaller one for that size
of
people.
It's for like literally like 10 people.
Yeah. And I that room is so pretty. But yeah, love okay. it.
Well,
so,
Paloma, if you're hearing this, we're not doing a $250.
No, and like I was annoying, and like I also
that's
like
a lot of money. Oh, not no. to like guilt trip you because I think it's wonderful. No, it's insane. Oh no, it's insane. Big...
And that's why I said, you know, guys, if you're not okay with it,
does that include gratuity? It has to.
Yeah. Okay, and alcohol. So yeah.
Oh, and open. It was essentially open bar.
Yes, and okay,
that's
right.
You know what? That's that.
And
makes
when
a
everyone
lot of sense.
Arrived, they were greeted with an espresso martini, and then Christine. Yeah, no, literally. And I no, I had like menus with calligraphy and like fan. Like,
who did the menu?
I printed it on Canva, and then I have like a calligrapher that I know.
Of course, you do.
And who actually? She's so lovely, and I use her for work. And I was like, oh, I have like a personal project for my birthday. And I was like, how much will it be? She was like, oh my God, happy birthday, like on me. And I was like, you angel. She's literally the best.
You know what? But that's also the nice thing of like working in events. You have all these relationships with vendors.
Right. And like, I'm pretty sure that was considered like a gift and like, maybe I'm not allowed to accept it. So my job, if you're listening, don't report me.
There's a genuinely a gray yeah. area, and it's you develop relationships with people.
I emailed her from my personal email. So
and that is what so matters. It so if the work big jewelry is listening.
I was like, please. And she just did it. And I was prepared to pay. I was like, I'll pay. And she was like, oh my God, no, happy birthday. I was like, thank you, Angel.
Listen, speaking of paying, there are some friendship bills that have not necessarily been paid in full. On Beverly Hills, on Miami, I have to get your thoughts yeah. because I have now fully caught up, I do believe. I know I have. I've fully caught up. I do want to get your thoughts first on Beverly Hills because it lives inside of my soul and my spirit.
Yeah.
I can't get out of it. It's one of those things. And I have many questions for you. But the first one, and again, remember, this is a hashtag safe space, is how are we feeling about the reunion narrative and in general about Sutton and Kyle?
Honestly, I'm becoming a bit fatigued with the past like few weeks of Housewives.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just because, and sorry, I'm like literally not answering your question. I think it's just because there's been so many franchises on
yeah.
at one time, which my sweet spot is like two franchises on at
agree.
A time.
Agree.
But the fact that we have had Beverly Hills, Miami, Potomac,
allegedly.
Married to Medicine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm like, I can't compute. Like, it's so I think I haven't been able to be fully invested in any of them because I'm like, well, there's so much going on. But with that said, the Sutton and Kyle stuff, I was like very entertained by it those first few episodes, like when she was like, name 'em. like, that's like my favorite thing ever. But I am becoming fatigued. And I'm realizing now that I'm listening to myself talk that I'm a long-winded person and I'm so sorry.
You're not. And if there was ever a place for someone to monologue,
I was like, I think I just went on for 10 minutes
you
about
did, you truly didn't.
People paying for birthdays.
No, you didn't. Like, and that was important information. Honestly, you know, normalize changing your mind based on new information.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't know how I'm changing
my
mind.
I don't
mind,
know who I was 30 seconds ago. I don't relate to her. But anyway, yeah, long, that's my answer.
The Kyle of it all is tough for me. Mm-hmm. Now, Kyle is in my top five. I love Kyle.
No, yeah.
I am slightly affected by the fact that mere minutes before you arrived, I did see that there was a drop on Netflix of a clip from Buying Beverly Hills where Mauricio is being very emotionally vulnerable and talking about the challenges of like maybe firing people and all this other stuff and having conversations about the kids and about Farrah. And I'm just thinking to myself, listen, God bless stupid fucking Buying Beverly Hills. I'm sure it's a great, stupid show. But we have invested 13 seasons of our lives into this marriage, and you're not giving me any
I mean,
of that
they have
on Beverly
to be
Hills.
Paying him money.
But what have we have in speaking of payment, we have invested so much. And it's one thing for Kyle to be like, I want to keep stuff private. And I don't know the timing of when BH filmed and Buying Beverly Hills filmed, but it's feeling to me like there was some sort of understanding that Mauricio had of how he needed to deliver for his stupid goddamn show. And I'm just wondering why we didn't get that same respect, because I shouldn't have to go to Netflix and apologies to Netflix, you're great people or whatever, lol. I shouldn't have to go to Netflix to watch the stuff that should have appeared on this season, or at least be discussed in a way that it hasn't been for two of the three parts of the reunion cycle.
I agree. What do we want? Respect. And when do we want it? Now. No, but I agree because, you know what? I think it's interesting. I wouldn't have so much cared if it was like Netflix, and correct me if I'm wrong, Netflix and Bravo, NBC have really nothing different. To do with
nothing
each other.
To do with
so
each other.
It would have been different if there was like a Peacock special, or if Buying Beverly Hills was on Peacock, and like there was some sort of, but there's no correlation between a Netflix series and what's on Bravo. I'm like, it's not like they were saving it to get viewers to like watch a 1 hour special, sit down with Kyle and Maurizio. This, I'm like, these, one has nothing to do with the other. So why, like, why are we doing that? Because it's not nice.
Listen, Maurizio. I know that Erica Jane is like squatting or whatever on Peacock doing her little like dance spinoff, and I am absolutely going to watch it.
Yeah.
But if Maurizio and Kyle did some sort of Peacock fucking divorce spectacular, I don't know that I would be thrilled with that. Like,
no. Oh, no, I wouldn't be thrilled.
This isn't like Beverly Hills introducing Vanderpump Rules. Like, we need to keep this on classic.
I agree. I wouldn't like it, but I would understand more so than this like random Netflix show getting all the good stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just, honestly, what I think it's going to be, it's like, oh, maybe they just put everything in the previews and that's it. But
they're getting more in the previews than we got in the fucking final cut. Like, what the fuck? If I was Bravo, I wouldn't be thrilled right now.
Oh, I'm so curious. Yeah, maybe they're angry.
And if they're angry, what effect is that going to have on anything? Because I don't know that. I don't know how much. I don't know what's going on with Kyle. And I love Kyle. She is, again, for the 80th time, in my top five. But I'm just a little frustrated about watching her not take accountability for anything and focus on the whole, like, it's my family's private situation. I don't want to talk about it, which I understand. She has every right to say that. But it's, we have to embrace the fact that it's contradictory. It's hard for me as a viewer and as a fan of Kyle to sit on the, she's going through an incredibly tough time. Nobody is allowed to talk about it. And if they're allowed to talk about it, they did something terribly wrong. Like, I understand in the circumstance of like the friend circle bubble universe that Dorit, different use Dorit, but like in the friend circle universe, the idea that like, sure, can she be upset at her friends? Yes, but it's still, she understands how the meat is made. Like she gets how the sausage is made here, but also it is hypocritical. Like, we don't need to see 8,000 clip packages of her talking about the reasons that, you know, the rumors about Brandy and Denise. The second it goes on camera, you have every right to deep dive it. And it's like, there's no question around why a person should do their job. It's difficult when it comes to the release of information on top of that, that we're not getting this. 'Cause I just feel like there was stuff going on while filming was happening that just we just haven't been let in on. And I understand that part three is going to be very vulnerable and emotional, but that's not enough for me at this point.
Yeah, I forgot that part three hasn't come out yet because, like I said, fatigued by 87 things going on. So, I'm curious. I'm curious to see part three. And we probably will get nothing, but go, girl, give us nothing. And, you know, I'll watch again.
Well, it just felt also like on part two, she was just so defensive and like flippant in a way that I get it. I understand her feelings of hurt, but it's just, it's not the same thing. Like, her comparing, Sutton referencing what ended up being a very real situation and rupture in her marriage to Kyle saying, well, you didn't talk about making out with your driver, like trying to equalize that. Kyle's not that stupid, and I don't think she's that self-absorbed, and maybe she's just feeling so defensive, but it comes across to me as arrogance.
Also, Sutton did talk, like, she addressed it.
Well, she didn't want to.
No, but she did.
Yeah.
Like, she said, you know what, yeah. She did say it. I mean, not voluntarily, but, like, you know.
But it's not, the stakes aren't the same. Like, Sutton, like, getting her little kiss on, like, we love Sutton gets her groove back, but, like, Kyle, sweetie, it's not the same. And maybe it's just because I rewatched some clips before we started recording, but like, I'm not over the Teddy Joe watch what happens moment and Kyle being like, well, I didn't mention other stuff, so you should be thankful. Like, what the fuck was that?
I zone out whenever Teddy's on.
He's a menace to
society. Appears on my screen. I'm sorry. Like, I literally just disassociate. Yeah. I'm like, and then that's it.
Yeah.
And then I usually change the channel.
P.S. Sidebar, did you see Bethany's reel this week? Of
This is how I still stay so thin.
I don't eat anything.
Oh my God. Wait, my friends and I were just talking about this yesterday. And I was just like, no. Like at this point, there's nothing that she posts that could shock me because she is so.
Talk about being self-absorbed.
After she was eating, I bring this up every time. After she ate that seafood boil in her hotel room, which was truly the craziest shit I've ever seen.
Big part of my holiday card.
Literally. And if you
back cover,
Andrea Lopez does a great impression of Bethany eating the seafood boil.
She does.
And ever since then, I've had to remove Bethany from my reality. I'm like, this is not a person that's living on the same planet that I am. And I'm just like, she's just not in my reality.
Yeah.
Because that's insane.
Yeah, it's just
people ask me all the time how I'm so thin. And I say, what did you say? Taste, but don't eat. What did she say? I feel like it was a trigger. I feel like I shouldn't be saying that. But she said
that. It was so frustrating, but it's also like then I started thinking about the fact that at one point during the height of like people repositioning how they're using certain words and like the harm between focusing on weight and body type, especially for women, that she was trying to reposition Skinny Girl as a wellness brand. And it's like, sweetie, like she came out with, and it's still available on bravotv.com, and I've posted it on my grid multiple times, a line of Skinny Girl Kids hand and body lotion, because she wanted to hold on to the word Skinny Girl so much that she wanted to introduce it to the next generation of kids to shower with bath gel and maybe not feel chubby
while doing it. That's like the craziest thing.
We get that you did well with this thing. We get it. But to carry it on in this way, she's so oblivious.
Like, sell your deli meats Stop and Shop or wherever.
Right. And we love Stop and Shop.
And that's it. It's a lot. So I've just personally, for my well-being, removed her from my reality. And I watch from afar now.
Right.
And I just say, ha ha. I'm like, ha ha, funny. I'm like, you are crazy.
Yeah, you have to look at her as an amuse-bouche.
Yeah, exactly. You
know, speaking of meals.
Exactly.
I mean, and we love a little bite that's a preview of the rest of the meal that people also enjoy. So kudos to her for literally nothing.
Yeah.
But moving on from that, the Kyle and Sutton of it all, it just feels like, and because we know in the next episode that unfortunately Sutton's going to have a medical emergency, it does not feel like there is going to be a real place here for them to come to an understanding. But a lot of that feels like it's happening because Kyle won't take responsibility.
Yeah. No, I hope Sutton's okay. I mean, I don't know what happens.
I don't know what happened.
Kathy walks in and Sutton, I mean, implodes. She's like.
Well, and the Kathy of it all, why Mauricio isn't there after 13 fucking seasons, and Andy walks in for part one and jokes to Kyle that Mo's gonna be there.
Oh
like,
my God.
Her are we at the
no,
point
and
of joking?
Kyle's face.
Yeah, because she has so much power.
Like, she was terrified. She
but
was like,
why is he not there?
I mean, we don't say it, but now we said it. Let's talk about the husband.
I mean, let's talk about the husband. We need to talk about the husband. Oh, also, speaking of husbands, there was a moment when Andy's asking Dorit, like, how are you and how's your marriage? And she pauses and I was like, oh, are we about to get some shit? And she's like, we're the happiest we've ever been. And Garcelle looks at Crystal.
No, that.
What was
those
that?
Looks?
What was that?
What was that? James, what was that? You know, that, what is it? That, was that Wendy? Yeah, Wendy Williams. No, that was, she goes, we are.
Dot, dot, dot.
The happiest we've, and I was just like, what the hell? And then Crystal and Garcelle, incredible. No idea.
What do they know?
Don't know. I'm sure we'll find out or not, but I don't know. I like really like Garcelle because she just like says whatever she wants. I don't know. I have a soft spot for her.
Paris is always a good idea. And when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French, Bravoholic for other matters of life. That's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter, which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo. And when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth. And when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon, c'est bon. How did you feel about her not entirely taking responsibility for the quip about the jewelry? Her being like, no, I literally meant it.
No,
I wasn't being a smartass. I truly do not understand why you still have those rings.
No, that was wild. And like some of the stuff she says, I'm like, maybe just like don't. Like if someone like, because for me, I'm like, if someone says they were like, God forbid, robbed at gunpoint, like yeah. I'm just going to say, I'm so sorry. Like I'm not going to ask if it maybe was or was not true. I'm that's not my place. I'm, you know. But she did. And you know what? God bless.
It was one of the smoothest shots that I have ever witnessed.
Crazy.
It's the sip of the straw and the line delivery. I was like, this is why you're Garcelle Beauvais.
Yeah.
It was an unbelievable performance.
I'm obsessed.
It was an unbelievable. I'm not taking away from like Dorit being upset,
right.
but it was very, obsessed. Very well delivered.
Obsessed. And I could not do that. She is an artist.
Mm, she's an artiste. She's not an artist. She's an artiste.
Artiste.
We got to add that E. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. It's deserved. Forgive me.
So with Beverly Hills in the future moving forward past the point of part three, how are you feeling about the cast?
That is another question that I'm fatigued by because I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where we go from here. Honestly, I love, for me, like Beverly Hills is best when there's chaos. So like if it can go back to like, I love having Camille on screen. I love having Kathy on screen. I love having Kim on screen. Like I enjoy that. Mm-hmm. So I hope we get some old people back. What I do not want is a reboot of Beverly Hills with all new people. Right. Like,
no.
I hope that they do not do that because it's not the time for that. Mm. We're not at level Roni season, whatever that was, that like really bad last season. So I hope that they keep the women and reintroduce some unhinged personalities.
Do you think that Kyle will be back?
I think so. Mm. I don't see why she wouldn't be because, mm-hmm. you know, she can get away with not saying everything. So why not?
I wonder who is going to put pressure on her because if there, or maybe it's not about putting pressure at a certain extent because now the thing happened. Like what happened, happened. If she's getting emotional in part three, talking about maybe there being a conversation around divorce, and we don't know from the edit of the trailer how much of that is connected to that specific question. But if they are talking about things in that way, understandably so. I mean, you're separated, you need to talk about your future, what that looks like.
Yeah.
If she's more open with that, we might just get a more open Kyle
next season.
I mean, it truly may happen. I just don't know that she's interested in doing that.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how Kyle and Dorit's friendship evolves because it, or evolves, whatever.
Moves forward, backwards, stalemate.
Yeah. I'm curious to see that because, yeah, that would be interesting to me as long as Anne-Marie gets, you know, does her own thing.
With Kyle and Dorit, how did you feel about Dorit referencing the text message on camera? Did you feel like Kyle was being manipulative in sending it the night before after a long sort of silence between the two? Did you think that Dorit had gone a step too far by releasing it? You do?
I do, but I think both of them, like, I think, yes, that's manipulative or like a last ditch effort almost. Mm-hmm. And then I also think maybe just like, don't reference this right now. I don't know. I thought it was weird on both ends. It was just weird and messy and I felt icky about it.
But from Dorit's perspective, how do you reference it without sharing it?
No, that's true. That's true. I mean, I'm glad she shared it.
Yeah.
I mean, but like as a friend, no, maybe that I wouldn't like that. But I'm glad she did.
Kyle seems very upset and feels like it's an invasion of her privacy.
Well, listen, you're on a show about to film a reunion. You text something to someone and think that it won't be shared in the capacity of like, obviously, Dorit has to tell someone on the cast about this just to like vent. And it just so happens that cameras were there.
Well, I think it's also like, because the text was about the show.
Right.
If it
right.
was Kyle talking about her relation, and maybe this is trigger warning, but like if it was Kyle talking about her relationships with her sisters that has nothing to do with the show, I would feel differently. I would feel like it was, you could argue, an invasion of privacy or just someone not being a good friend. Like,
I also think timing played a big part in it. Right? If she had texted Dorit a month before.
Totally. Then it's a different circumstance.
Yeah.
I think the timing is important. And I think the reality is that because Kyle is directly referencing the show, her future on the show, and Dorit feels like she's doing it specifically, strategically, the hours before the reunion as a way to ask Dorit not to discuss any difficulties in their friendship and then be like, and maybe after this we can go to lunch. I mean, if I'm in Dorit's position, I don't know how you get around that, especially if you feel like you don't have the power in this dynamic.
No, you're right. And that's why we normalize changing our opinions, because now I just agree with everything you said and I'm fully on that side. So what I said 2 minutes ago,
oh my God,
forget her, because now this makes a lot more sense. So normalize being influenced.
I love an influencer moment. We stan influence culture here on Andy's Girls. I do want to shift gears just a little bit because having just watched part three of Miami, it was such an intense kind of reunion cycle. What, speaking of changing your mind based on your new information, was there anything that changed your mind or opinion in watching part three of the reunion? Maybe about an individual friendship dynamic or about a housewife or their explanations for potentially poor behavior?
No, I mean, honestly, not that anything changed my opinion. I thought everyone pretty much acted how I thought they were going to act. Like, there was nothing, like, there were problems throughout the season, but nothing I was, like, gasping at. Like, I mean, even, like, the stuff Larsa said we saw in the previews 85 times. So, like, I there wasn't anything for me that was, I don't know. I thought, honestly, I thought that they were going to bring the men out, and when they didn't, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, I was like, oh, okay. But, yeah, no, everyone pretty much acted like how I thought they were going to act. What surprised me was the opera.
Oh, my God.
Ave Maria. That's Ave a hard Maria. Song.
And who was it? It was, like, Lisa or Lars at the end were like, that's my favorite song.
Yeah. Or, Yeah.
Also, Julia, obviously, lip syncing. And then I think it was Marisol
obsessed.
At the end was like, you've done so what you've improved.
Yeah, like, you've
so
improved
much.
So much.
She's not singing.
I was obsessed with that. Obsessed.
It was I thought it was a really strong reunion cycle. And I felt like it was, Miami's just one of those shows where I really genuinely do feel like the women love each other. I really genuinely feel like there's a base or foundation of friendship that can allow and stretch for, like, absolutely screaming, dragging each other to hell, saying, like, you can go fuck yourself.
I agree. I think it's friendships like that those early friendships, like, on Roni, that's, like, it's similar in the sense that, like, you actually, like, these women, like, I believe that these women see each other when not all of them, but when filming is not occurring. And I love that. I mean, I'm just, like, obsessed with Kiki. I'm just obsessed with her.
Do you think she's going to get a mojito?
I hope so. She deserves it.
How could she not after this reunion?
After this reunion, like, I love her and I respect her so much. And I hope she does. I hope she gets a mojito. And you know what actually is crazy is that Marisol is not.
Marisol and Adriana, yeah, are both.
I know.
Friends
isn't that wild?
I love it. I think Kiki, I think it's the
I
right move.
I hope Kiki gets, I want her to get a full-time salary.
Yeah, but I want Marisol and Adriana to stay.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, it just makes the most sense. It, like, it just, they fit as friends of, and I think Adriana doesn't have the best instincts. And
yeah.
And sometimes that's as a person, sometimes that's through.
Because they're
production.
Still on every episode. Like,
yeah,
it, so doesn't
it doesn't
matter.
I mean, it matters for them financially.
But yeah,
like,
but, like, whatever.
But
I'm obsessed. I don't know. I love Miami.
It really genuinely works. Speaking of all things Kiki, what was your reaction to her dynamic with Lisa? And do you feel like Lisa had an understanding for Kiki's upset? Like, do you think that Lisa was able to hear Kiki?
I in the moment, no. I hope since that she has, because I think Lisa was just in a position like, I don't. Like, because she, what did she, kept saying, I'm sorry that you feel that way, which is always a telltale sign of, like, no, just say sorry for what you said. Don't say sorry. That's
right.
Because in that instance, she should have just said, I am so sorry that I was so insensitive to that and it hurt you. And that, like, someone saying, I'm sorry that it made you feel that way is always, like, it's not an apology.
It's a little passive aggressive.
Like, it's passive aggressive. But I hope since that things have smoothed over and that she's been able to receive the feedback.
And Lisa's a little self-absorbed.
Oh, I'm sorry, every woman on that show is.
Yeah.
Like, we're on television about
but
our
some,
lives. Like,
some
let's
more
be
than
real.
Others, some more than
yeah,
others.
No, everyone on sitting on screen is. And please, if I would be too. Like, I'm letting you film my life. Like, I better love myself and have, and, like, think the world revolves around me. Like, anyway, but yeah, I don't know. I hope that things have been smoothed over. since the reunion.
Yeah, I think there's also been some tension just in the fact that Lisa feels like when there's conversation around Gertie's cancer journey, that Lisa feels like her, the entirety of what she's going through has been like silenced.
Yeah.
And the reality is there's a reason for why people are referencing Gertie's cancer, because it's like to hopefully enable you to understand that as terrible as things are for you, you are healthy, your kids are well. And I don't know that she has capacity to get that without feeling like the entirety of her challenges, her divorce battle, continuing seeming like psychological abuse that Lenny is throwing her way via the court and press and everything else. It's like, it's not to say you're not going through something, but like, number one, you're not the only person going through something. And there are, believe it or not, greater kind of complications at bay. And I say that also noting that, like, as she made clear, which I thought was really important, it's not about the money, it's about the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually really appreciative for her upset about that, because that hasn't been, I'm not like, I fully believe her, but I haven't seen that centered as much.
Right. And I'm glad she did say that, because I don't understand. I don't have children, human children. Pippa is my child.
You do have a puppy.
But I can't imagine going through that, being like, okay, I don't know if I'm going to have my kids at the end of this.
Yeah.
That is so horrific. But she has to just like put things in perspective. I don't know. I don't like it. And it's a bad situation. It's bad for everyone. But then again, I also like what Gertie's saying of like, yes, that like you just also don't like until you're facing this head on.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, nothing else matters except I'm here. I have my health. Like, it's so important. It just they can support both of them.
Yeah.
Both women need support. It's not like not saying that Lisa doesn't, but it just, you know, in everything in perspective.
But Gertie also wasn't given the kind of like blanket statement support that even Lisa was immediately following the news of like Lenny's affair. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of wild. And some of that is maybe because of people's discomfort when cancer or any kind of health condition or illness or disease is referenced, that people don't know how to respond and how to engage and how to genuinely support someone and be a friend in that moment. But it's just tough to see what Gertie had to handle. And I was 100% weeping full stop.
That clip package
with Russell
wept
and cutting her hair and everything, just watching it all back. And then her sitting in that confessional chair and saying, I'm ready.
Full body chills.
Like she'll never get enough credit for what she has gone through.
Incredible.
Yeah,
I love Gertie
really
so much.
She really is. And she has the right to be upset. It's
100%.
We can't police her upset toward Larsa or toward anyone else. Like, it's frustrating.
Larsa was wrong.
Larsa was 100%
wrong. 100%
wrong.
Like, Gertie can be mad at her.
Yeah.
For as long as she wants. Like, stop.
Yeah.
Like, let her be mad. You cannot, you don't know what she, like, it, you don't know, like, I don't know. I'm rambling, but
Gertie's saying, you made this more complicated for me. You made this more difficult. And Larsa saying, I didn't. Sweetie,
like,
take a seat.
Pardon my French, but shut the fuck up and sit down.
She doesn't know how.
Like, you cannot, like, someone has cancer. Like, you can't, like, just take the L on this one.
Yeah.
And apologize and say nothing else. Like, don't defend your actions. There's nothing to defend. Like, literally, there's nothing to defend. Someone has cancer. Like, stop. It's crazy.
Larsa saying, well, I told my friends and they're really good friends. Babe.
Crazy.
Nuts. Like, I understand that she misunderstood what Gertie said about, like, not spreading things on social. But you should still not be telling anyone until this person
it doesn't
has decided
matter.
To share.
It literally doesn't matter.
You're telling them on camera and you're saying it over and over and over again.
So crazy.
To your good friends and then also to members of the cast. Like, that's nuts to me.
You were being filmed. Like, it doesn't
matter.
Like, that's it's not like you said it to your private friends in the privacy of your home and were like, you were on camera.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what? I don't know. She was just like so wrong. And I, again, I love like what Larsa brings to the show, because I'm just like obsessed with her like nonchalant vibe. Like you can never tell what emotion she's feeling. But this, I'm like, I can't defend you. Like I cannot defend you.
Completely
like, this is indefensible and that sucks. And that was really shitty.
Yeah. And I feel like with Larsa, it's complicated for her because then at points she kept saying over and over again, I've apologized to you 30 times. It's like, sweetie, obviously you haven't done a terribly good job.
Right.
Number one. Number two, you apologizing isn't enough.
And you're also still defending yourself.
Exactly.
Just say, like, stop.
Right. And say, you know what? Ideally, she internalizes in her head, well, I have apologized 30 times. If that's true, which I do not believe that it is. But even if it's true, I don't care if it was 100 times. You're at the reunion. Just
say
take a pause.
Everything I did in that instance was wrong. And yeah. I am sorry.
Right.
Not I'm sorry. You felt that way.
Right.
Just I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I think some of it was a game of telephone, like this whole she was testing you, Larsa not understanding it and then thinking, wait, was she testing me by saying that she had something that she did not? All of that got so confusing. And so because it did feel like she was trying to figure out exactly what was happening, that she wasn't just asking to be like a snide piece of shit. She genuinely heard testing and did.
Right.
Not
and she did not. Right. Exactly.
But still, it has an impact and it's worse because of your choices and your behavior and a serious misunderstanding of what control looks like and what friendship looks like when someone tells you that they have cancer.
Yeah, that was rough. It was hard to watch.
Yeah. And her being like, what did she say? How do you know? Or something.
Like, oh, my God.
Like, sweetie.
In my mind, that response, I'm like, I feel like you meant to say, like, when did you find out? Yes. Or like, but the way it came at, like,
yeah, it was challenging her.
Girly, just like, because I feel like probably in that moment, it's like, oh, my God, when did you find out? Mm. How far along? Like, and again, not to like poor choice of words. And that's not how you like, it's just bad.
She is, to me, and I know this isn't necessarily going to make sense, but she's such a strong housewife. And it's hard to not, like, when I watch her on screen, first off, 100% she needed to be next to Andy. But when I'm watching her, I'm just like, I can't stop watching you. You're intoxicating.
Literally. No, that's, I'm obsessed with her as a housewife.
Yes.
She needs to continue. I don't want them to touch the cast of Miami.
No, never.
Unless it's making Kiki full time. Like, that's it.
Well, the only kind of, to me, TBD person who seemingly took the note this season was Julia. But then Julia.
Oh, I'm fine with everyone.
Down
no,
this season.
I need everyone to stay exactly where they are.
Yeah. And you know what? The longer Julia stays on, the more of a probability that there's going to be some shit with her and Adriana. And I would like to see
them. Oh, my God. I would love to see them.
Because can you imagine if Alexia and Marisol carry over any like weirdness over the reunion and then Adriana and Julia have a moment?
Would scream.
And also
would
Julia's
love.
Sort of friendship, relationship, burgeoning, whatever with Alexia. I'm here for
it.
Oh,
my God. I'm thick as thieves, the two of them. I can't wait to see it.
It's
so no one move
good.
On Miami. Everyone
nobody
stay.
Move. Nobody move.
But
when are they starting to film again? When do we get next season?
I don't know. I hope soon.
I need to rewatch all three episodes again and I think do a deep dive about it because there was just so much.
I fully
there.
Agree because I didn't pay as close of attention because, like I said, there's 87 shows on.
Right.
And I can't physically do it all. So I agree. I feel like I missed like specific moments that. There was just too much.
Also, Nicole, you know, the memorial to Nicole's father.
Oh, I love Nicole.
I love Nicole. And I feel like what she said, you know, there were two points made that I thought were interesting. The first was Sutton sharing that that sort of being, what was it? That Sutton on Beverly Hills was talking about sort of being forced to open up and talk about her situation with her ex-husband and the opportunities that BH have given her enabled her to stand up for herself.
Right.
And on Miami, Nicole talking about the fact that she would have just buried and
kind of
distanced herself from the tension with her dad, except she was sort of forced to confront it because of the storytelling on Housewives. That's important.
It's beautiful.
It is.
And this is why Real Housewives is important.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
Genuinely.
People shit on it or they say like it's reality TV, trash, whatever. Watch this season of Miami was so over the, like there was so much going on. Someone had cancer, someone this with her father, like it's crazy the stuff that happens. Like this is their real life.
That is real life. And I feel like the fact that, you know, often we want to hide behind or avoid, I mean, I'm the queen of avoidant, like not acknowledge or discuss really tense, difficult relationships with loved ones or whatever is going with ourselves.
Yeah.
And Housewives is typically discussed through the lens of like the challenges and ways that women sometimes are tokenized and manipulated because of the Housewives universe, that like they become caricatures, they their lives might be potentially damaged as a result of some of the storytelling and production manipulation, the, you know, use of binge drinking. Like that conversation has the right to exist, but also there is opportunity here, not just in women potentially in bad relationships or bad dynamics who have the ability to center their lives and have their lives centered, have financial independence, and in some of these cases be forced to confront dynamics that they wouldn't have. And with Nicole, it's like, thank God that she and her dad had that moment and that she was open to it and willing, because it shouldn't always happen. Like some, there's some toxic dynamics where it's like, you know, just to continue to live a healthful life, a safe life, there are certain, you know, we all have that in our lives where it's like making the choice of when to say goodbye.
Right.
You know, sometimes that is with someone who is still alive. But Nicole was able to come to a place of understanding her father without rejecting her own trauma, like still believing herself and her experience and his, you know, very sudden passing. It's just I'm thankful that she gave herself that opportunity to like grieve, understand, and attempt to create a new relationship. I think that's incredibly powerful.
No, I fully agree. And I respect her too for saying that, like without the show we would have never done that, which is like, I don't know. I teared up, honestly. That it was very emotional. And I love her for it. I'm obsessed with her and her family, and I'm so happy that she's having another baby.
Well, and the way she said, you know, like God, what is it? God gives and takes. And like the fact that she had this enormous ground shaking loss in her life at the same time that she is getting ready to introduce new one.
What the circle of life.
It is a circle of life.
As the Lion King says.
I mean, kumbaya and whatnot, you know, Hakuna Matata. It's just, no, but like for real.
No, it's like, it was so emotional. So I love
it. It was emotional. I also can't handle, and I'm not going to cry because I'm so, my body is so confused at what time of day it is, but like when anytime they do the card and it's so a picture of someone,
oh my God, it gets me every time.
In loving memory, I can't do it. I can't do it. In loving memory gets me every fucking time.
And
it's like, I'm still trying to keep it together for Gertie. I'm like, you're taking too much out of me. I don't have enough to give back. Yeah. You know, like it's a lot.
No, my love tank was empty.
Victoria Gumbelson
said. Exactly.
Then it got filled, as my birthday twin said. You know, like it really, it did. I just, Miami, I started watching the reunion and I thought to myself, like, isn't it interesting that the reunion cycle isn't, and I mean this as a compliment, that the reunion cycle like isn't as strong as the season itself because the season is just so good.
Yeah.
But then I kept continue watching. I was like, no, it's as good.
It's good. Yeah. No,
it's equally good.
It's good.
It's I was trying to play a compliment in my head to Miami of being like, you know, there's just so much to discuss and there's just so much to watch. Like it makes sense just to watch the original episodes. And as they continued, I was like, nope, this is
it's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Equally strong. And there are so many questions that I have about where and how the show moves forward and how I didn't see that third ep had aired, just questions for myself and also for the future of the universe that I'm looking for. Because, you know, after last season, who would have thought that this season would be as strong? I mean, last season with the Lenny, with it was just that moment where they all found out, the screaming.
I mean, that was like so crazy.
That's nuts.
It was wild.
Have you rewatched this?
So good. No, I haven't.
I've gone back.
Nuts.
It's nuts.
I mean,
also, Lenny, like, certainly top 10, if not maybe 5 worst house husbands of all time.
Yeah, I don't. He needs and him and his mother. I'm sorry.
His mother and his weird, fiance who should be taking it's notes so right weird. Now, sweetie. If he's it's treating so her like this, weird. Why do you think you're going to be the exception to the rule? He's telling you what the rule is.
It's so weird.
Yeah. And also, like, him coming after press after he allegedly leaves, like, Werther's Originals in people's guts,
like
you know, comedy podcasts, whatever, et cetera. But it's just so fascinating to see the many different reasons that he is just a horrible, horrible guy.
A horrible person.
Truly.
I have nothing to say about him. How nothing nice to say.
How do we feel about Jody?
I think my silence says everything. No, I think I actually don't know how I feel about him. I like him.
Sorry, about Lisa's gay friend Jody.
Yeah, I like him in a sense that like he seems to be very supporting and he's very good to her. However, I don't know how long that will last, being that like she won't stop talking about Lenny. Like it's like I feel bad for Jody. And that we saw that season. He was like, you have to check in on me too. Like,
yeah.
Which again, it just goes back to like how self-centered people go. And again, I know like she is going through so much. I can't imagine being in her shoes. But like if you have a partner, like you can't just like you gotta ask him how they are.
Also, she's making Lenny so happy because I assume that his goal with all of this, with like the increased litigation over forks and cutlery or whatever,
crazy.
Is to upset her because he doesn't want to let go control. And he has the ability to trigger her with an email to his lawyers or call to the cops. Like
it's really wild. And he
wants this.
He's a bad man.
He is a bad man. And while... The whole like I'm telling him he's a friend of the family thing dynamic with the kids I didn't love because I think you're working your way around the fact that like you just hopped into this extreme committed relationship 2 seconds later. I'm concerned about that. It does seem like he's supporting her in a way that I don't mean just financial, like she has that,
like she has an emotional support system. Which again is great for her, but
I don't know.
I think she said something when she was like, oh no, like Logan knew the whole time. I was like, kids are smart.
Yeah, but that's also the thing that it's like you have to love, I'm not saying this specific to Lisa at all, but it's like you have to love your kids more than you hate your ex-partner.
That's so true.
Right? Oh my God. And I think about that when it comes to just like the fact that some of these people were celebs before Housewives, some of them are celebs as a result of Housewives. Lenny seemed to be a big name prior. I think of Logan Googling. I think of Logan doing that. I think of Garcelle's kid finding out about his dad's affair, which dad still hasn't discussed, which I think is ridiculous. I think about Bryn Hoppy, who certainly was witness to stuff way before the point that she should have. And it's not to say that, like, you know, some people are in relationships and dynamics where it's just the partner that you're with or were with, whatever, is just incredibly toxic and there's no way around it and it's on a public platform. But I also just think the people who are being hurt most in this at the end of the day are kids who not fully developed.
Yeah.
This is their intro. I mean, we can talk about this a little bit on Love is Blind. We're about to record it, Taking It Personally, but like that, just the generational trauma, who do you think is going to carry the burden of their parents' hate or of their parents' poor behavior? It's going to be the child. And that is just, that is
really
concerning.
Sad. Yeah.
And sometimes I don't know that you can get out of it. If your former partner is going to try to use the court system to fuck with you for maybe years and years and years, I don't know how you navigate that and isolate that, especially if your kids are being used as like weaponry and warfare. But I also just think that doesn't negate the impact of what this does to kids.
Yeah, no, you said Bryn Hoppy and I like got chills up because Bethany Ever After should be categorized as horror genre.
Yeah, and I own it. I own it all three seasons.
So dark. I recently watched it back I was like, this is the darkest thing on television.
Remember the boat?
I have chills. It's the darkest thing on television.
And what
it is. So spooky.
And what we learned after the fact, all those Page Six articles, I remember when I'm going to fuck up the title, so I apologize, but like someone picked up what the court ordered, I think it was psychologist. They, after maybe two decades of working in the court system, they quit Bethany and Jason. I might be fucking some of this up because it's been a minute, but they quit working on that case. And it was like maybe the second time that had ever happened. And they talked about the fact that the father in the situation, meaning Jason, was like completely impenetrable. You couldn't get past him. And the mom, you also couldn't, but she was like beginning to open up a little bit. And to just think of the fact that, you know, I'm not going to get into the nitty gritty of what these two people did to each other and what was done before the split that influenced the behavior during the split. But it's Brynn.
It's so
bad. It's just what she has had to deal with, what's been discussed in court documents, which has been picked up by press. It's just it's really upsetting. And I don't know if she has any relationship with her father. I don't know if she should. I don't know what that dynamic is, but
I
just
feel like
she really
does.
I don't know, because custody was a huge, huge battle. And then at the end of the day, it was like, because she was apparently allegedly dealing with a lot of anxiety, and this is according to like court documents, that there was a seemingly a come to Jesus moment of Jason not fighting as hard for his share of custody. She was getting so anxious about the transfer.
I understand. Okay.
So I don't know what relationship or dynamic she has with him or should have with him, but I just think it's a really upsetting circumstance, because you know both of those people. You know, we watched
so
her
crazy
birth story. I mean, like, it's very upsetting.
The wedding, Bethany getting married. Oh,
yeah.
Chills.
And Brynn is named after Jason's deceased brother, named after Brian.
I have grandparents.
We can't talk about it.
I would be here for 10 hours.
But that's also a reality for people who aren't on TV of like, this is what can happen when relationships fall apart. And it's like, you don't know the person that you're marrying is going to be the same person that you potentially divorce. And I can't imagine. I mean, we started the episode by talking about the fact that,
and that's
that,
why I'm still single.
No, but like, but you know, it's
you can't trust anyone.
Well,
no, I'm kidding.
But also, it's like, it's just one of those, it's such a leap of faith. It is also a binding court situation, but it is a leap of faith, because how are you to know that the person 15 years later isn't going to be a very, very, you know, I think the hope is that you grow together. But what happens if the growth that you do is just as completely different people with very different, maybe moral,
it's parallel growth, not.
Yeah.
Not what's
well,
No.
We want parallel growth.
I meant like,
I failed geometry the first time.
I meant parallel, like you're side by side in life, but you're not merged. That's what I meant by parallel.
Okay, I was like, parallel, I think, is the goal.
You want like cross growth.
Perpendicular, maybe?
No.
I meant
parallel
geometry.
Growth as like you're still married, but you're just becoming further. No.
I was initially.
And that's where I'm going to.
Yeah, I was initially
quit while I'm ahead.
Double in directing and theater performance at Marymount, and I couldn't do it because I can't see shapes. And I fully, no, like for real, like I did not pass geometry. It's just not how my brain
I was
works.
An English major, so you're preaching to the choir.
I would love.
I don't.
Honestly.
Just science, math, get out of here.
Well, I mean, math, I need to stop comparing myself to Rain Man, but when it comes to like checks, sample sales,
you can do a discount.
Multiplication, division. Well, no, simple division, not long division. Addition, like I fucking kill it. Like I'm wow. Very, very quick. I'm very, and not just 20%, because I know that's easy, but like adding stuff, subtracting it. Like I really genuinely am very good. I just can't do shapes.
I mean, I use a calculator for everything because I don't trust myself.
It's my new Wordle, but it's Mathle.
Oh my God, no. I don't trust myself.
I trust myself. You know what I don't trust is me not wrapping this episode up so we can talk about goddamn Love is Blind and Traitors.
Oh my God,
to wrap. And it is a little bit of a P1, P2 because of what we are discussing when it comes to relationships and divorce. So we need to just jump into that with Love is Blind. In the meantime, Christine, can you tell the AGs where to follow you on social, all that and more?
Yes. Instagram mostly at Christine Biancavilla, spelled exactly how it sounds. And that's like pretty much where I spend most of my time. Like Love. I have a Twitter. I tweet things occasionally, but you know, it's not It's not for everyone. So
it is not. It is not for me, in fact. Yeah. But I love that journey for you. Yeah. Speaking of journeys, you can follow me on Instagram at Dame Gally, Threads at the same handle. Join the Andy Scrolls Patreon, number one way to support the pod, get exclusive bonus episodes and so much more, including a live reaction. I think it's like 40 or 45 minutes long to the New Jersey trailer.
Which I haven't watched yet.
Oh my God.
I'm so sorry. I did not come prepared. I haven't watched it.
No need to
because
prepare.
Because I like didn't have time.
It's on the page. Then, yeah, it's on the
perfect.
Page.
Perfect. Okay.
It's where
I'll circle Todd back.
Lives. It's a real deep dive, and somehow I magically compare it or circle it back to Beverly Hills, which is a talent that I don't know I should be utilizing as frequently. Also, Oscars night. So hopefully that goes well. My favorite day of the year. It's Galley Christmas.
So excited.
Yeah. It's
I can't even like. I can't. I'm so excited.
This is sort of disrespectful to the movie, but I did rewatch Oppenheimer on the plane home. And fuck, man, Killian, I need him to get everything he wants in life, which is essentially peace and time away from press and not having to
do this ever again.
He is a genuinely sweet man who doesn't know what a meme is. And honestly, neither do I. So I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for him maybe more than anyone.
Yeah. No, I hope he has a good night. I hope. Yeah. Listen, I think it'll be a great night.
I think it'll be a great night
for everyone.
I do love
in terms
Chris
of
Nolan.
The awards.
I love him so much. If you haven't watched Oppenheimer, it's 18 hours of just absolute bliss.
It's on Peacock because you can't miss it. Every time I open that app, it's yes. like Oppenheimer. Like,
it's
I just want to watch
Peacock.
Traitors. Give me a minute.
It's odd that it's on Peacock.
Yeah, I don't.
It's like
some sort of deal.
Well, now that HBO doesn't really live here
I'm
anymore.
Sorry, Peacock is like. Kind of my favorite app now.
Is it?
I don't know. It's
There's
becoming
a lot going on. A lot
like
going
they
on.
Have they now have The Office that was removed from Netflix. Yep. They have a lot of stuff now.
Wow.
They have a lot of shows now that were once on Netflix or somewhere else, and it's on Peacock is kind of that girl.
Well, shout out to Peacock for being that girl and let's
sponsor us.
Feathers over on taking it personally or whatever else. Guys, thanks so much for listening and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.